Blog Talk Radio.
Stay in the will of God. Stay in the will of God. This is Doctrine of Truth. We're here again. You're listening wherever you might be. Amen. Riding along, or you might be going back over this program again. Call a friend. Tell a friend that Doctrine of Truth is on the air. The safest place you can be is in God's will. Amen. Father, we thank you right now. You say where two or three come together in your name, there you be in the midst. And Lord, we thank you, amen, to be able to be agreeable. And Lord God, have ones and two and three and four, Father, that agree with us. And we thank you, Lord, for what you're doing and what you're going to do. And Lord, how you can stretch your hand of deliverance. Bind Satan's hand, bind his work, oh God, because we're in your will. We're striving to keep your will and walk in your will and pray in your will and laugh in your will, oh God, because the safest place we can be is in your will. Safest place we can be is in God's will. We'll welcome you and you, amen, call a friend and tell a friend, amen, the Doctrine of Truth on the air. Our endeavor, as always, is to, amen, to break down all revelations and concentrations and meditations that each and of us, may the Lord give you a message or a testimony, amen. We begin to talk on it, and the Holy Spirit would help us to digest it. Amen. So when the Bible says, get wisdom, all I getting, get understanding. There's no question. There's no comment. Too silly. Things are too difficult. Amen. When two or three or four or five come together. Amen. And God bless us. Amen. That you can get understanding. Proverbs say, understanding brings strength. Amen. Get strength today and tonight, wherever you might be listening. Amen. To help you to go forward in God. And amen. This is the endeavor of this program always. To help you to go forward. To help you to see tomorrow. Help you to feel, amen, the security that God has placed in his hand and given it unto us as we begin to grow and begin to walk in him. Amen. That you begin to lay aside a lot of weights and to lay aside things that you maybe you never was taught about, never was told, somehow you missed it. And today in time, the enemy, he's a deceiver. And Jesus said in Matthew's, amen, that the 24th chapter, be not deceived. Amen. The enemy, he's the art of deception. He's the art of deception. Amen. He threw up all kind of temptation and direction to want you to go to the left. Amen. But all the time, he's making a way around to the right. Amen. He can catch you off guard. He's witty. Amen. But to take the Holy Spirit, because Satan is a spirit, it takes another spirit. And the Holy Spirit, amen, knows his traps and his, amen, how he wraps up, amen, his deception. Amen. The Holy Spirit said, no. You ordered, amen, you ordered a hamburger. Amen. But that's not a hamburger. He got in there in the package. Amen. You better take a look. You better take a look. Amen. So God, amen, through his spirit, realized that we are still here. And you have to understand that God loved us. He loved the world. But we live in here on this earth to help others to come, to help others to grow. Amen. This was tonight. The subject is save yourself from sins of guilt. Save yourself. Now, yourself from sins of guilt. Amen. Peter had said, amen, be careful. Amen. Satan like a roaring lion. He seeketh who he may devour. Not your neighbor, not your friend. Amen. But the enemy is out to stop you because you are headed to help others. Amen. Jesus wants us to save others, help others through what? Our testimony. Amen. Through our song. Amen. He's saving us through our lifestyle. Amen. I thank God, amen, for the men and conversations. Amen. One conversation we had in one study that we had on this program. And when Jesus said, told us, it's the disciples, I'll make you fishers of men. Amen. And as the revelation came through, amen, that we are the bait for other people. You know, fishermen, they have all type of bait they put on the hook. They throw out in the water. They throw nets in the water. And the fish be attracted to, amen, to their bait. Amen. God uses our life to attract others to come to him. God uses our life to attract others to come to him. Some of you, amen, it might be, I don't know who, amen, forget about and walk on and strive on. Say, okay, the things that I used to do is not destroy my life, amen. But I want you to notice, amen, let's begin to read in the book of James, very familiar, and sometime you'll find this. Amen. Let me start off. Amen. That was a story I read from a well-known author and minister, very popular, and we cannot disclose the name or anything. Amen. To protect people's identity. Amen. Because, amen, we're not out to hurt anyone. But this book was written 10, 15 years ago, but yet and still. Amen. Because of this man's husband. Amen. His wife been so sick. Amen. He sought doctors. He sought psychiatrists. And he sought medication and herbals and synthetic medication, acupuncture. He tried everything he could, but his wife was dying. They diagnosed that she will not live for long. She started spitting up blood. And so this minister decided to, I mean, his wife decided to take her to a ministry, amen, and the minister was well known, was able to help people, amen, this is in a foreign country, and he took her and began to talk to her and share, amen, with her husband, express in her presence. And the husband said, well, I'm going to walk out the office now and let you all talk in confidence and see what you can do for my wife, what you can do for my wife. And the wife, amen, she began to thank him for being, but, you know, she knows she's not going to live for long, and she accepting that. And but the minister, the pastor was saying, well, you know, you have to live for your husband. Got two children, and two wonderful girls, and he love you, and I don't think they're going to make it too long, you know, without your hair and your cap. They love you. Why don't you live for them? And he said, the pastor began to say, why don't you tell me about your past and what happened in life? And all of a sudden she snapped him and confronted him. What are you? Are you the FBI or CIA? Why are you asking me all these questions? What is your problem? I'm here for to get prayer. What is your problem? He said, well, I'm trying to find out. Amen. You tried everything. Amen. Medicine, different things, even great revivals. Amen. But now you're dying and you accepting that. What has happened? Something, amen, in your past, amen, had hurt you, and it seemed as though you don't want to talk about it. And she went on for a while, then she began to express, she broke down and cried, started crying. And, you know, she began to say that she fell in love with her sister husband. She fell in love with her sister husband before she got out of high school and went through college. She had some abortions, and they fell in love, and they constantly were meeting, and she finally broke off from him and said she's going to get out of this. And the first man that asked her to marry her, amen, she's going to marry that person. And she did. But the guilt is still now eating her up, the guilt. She hadn't not confessed that out and told anyone, and she found a confession, amen. And when she did, and the pastor began to tell her, you know that God forgive you of your sin, just confess it to God, then you can forgive yourself. And he had her to go over to the side of the room and talk and pray, and talk to God, and do the sinner's prayer, and ask God to come in her life through Jesus Christ. Amen. And that burden, the Holy Spirit, lift that burden off of her. Amen. She let it go. Amen. And she accepted Jesus, and she let that burden go. Amen. That guilt go off her heart. Amen. And her husband ran back, or she was shouting and asked, and he said, what's going on? What happened? What's happening? And he said she accepted Christ. And she forgave herself. That's where we are tonight. That's where we are today. You're listening. Amen. Some of you might have unconfessed guilt. Amen. That's a part of the first step. Amen. When you come to Christ, part of repentance. The Bible says repent. Amen. Confess your sins one to another. James said that you might be healed. Amen. Also, you confess. You got to confess things you have done against others and confess things that you have done. If you'd like to call in and share with us your testimony, amen, we don't get personal with names and addresses. We try to keep it, amen, as simple and restricted and loving as possible. You can call in at 1-855-236-2252. Toll free, 855-236-2252, or you can call in 1-347-215-8816. 215-8816. Paul said, "The love of God constraineth us." Amen. When God come in to our life, you love everybody. Amen. You can't hold hate, confusion. Amen. You have to get that out of your heart. And many times we just don't confess. We just don't confess. Find a friend and call a friend. Amen. Someone you know that is for you. And say, listen, I want to talk over a problem with you. Amen. We have a caller online is waiting. Amen. God bless you. Amen. Go right ahead, call away on the line, and you're welcome. God bless you. God bless you. Yes, sir.
Amen, Bishop. Amen. It's good to be back.
God bless you, Lester.
It seems like it's been a lifetime. Had so much fun last week that you really didn't want to give away, but you came back with a very good topic, and it's so timely because I was looking at 1 John 1:9, and it said, if we confess our sin, he is faithful to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know, Bishop, today, you know, cancer is on a rampage.
Yes, sir.
And
yes, sir.
What the body of Christ won't understand about that disease is when you have a guilt in you, and you turn your life around, you came to the Lord, you got a guilt in you, and you don't confess that. Understand that God created everything. First, he thought, he spoke, and it was created. When you have guilt and you do not confess it, it's taking that within your mind, in your heart, and speaking that it be known. And once it's known, now you can resolve it. You can get rid of it. But when you hold it in and say, I'm not going to tell anybody my business, I'm going to hold it in, that thing, that bitterness, eats that inside of your body like a cancer. And the more you hold that bitterness in, it and not confess, it turns into cancer. And it's not so much, it's the fact that you have a, God created that to be in harmony with him. And when you get in what they call discord, your body's not in harmony. And if it's not in harmony, now what you create in negative cells, those negative cells turn cancerous. So and get that stuff off you. You know, people often say that once they did confess and come clean, so to speak, they said it felt like a big weight will lift off, and they feel lightheaded and freshness about it. It's because you can't harbor that bitterness in you, and it affects you biologically and chemically. So you got to confess and get it out of you. If you don't, it'll destroy you.
Yes, it will. Amen. Because James was saying the life of the body is in the tongue. You know, what we speak and the things that we, speak out. But you have to remember, if we don't speak it out, it's on the inside. It's on the inside. And it's trying to come out. It's trying to come out. And if you be harboring like hate, discord in your heart, it stays in there like you put water on the stove and the kettle get hot and start whistling. Amen. People, you see their attitude and their character and why they snapping and so mad all the time, and you say, well, they have a problem, and, you know, I wish they wouldn't share it with us on the, you know, being the bullies and whatever. Amen. But if they would talk to Christ. Peter said, cast all your cares upon him, for he care for us. If we cast our cares.
A lot of times the enemy will tell us, tell people, oh, don't let them get in your business. They'll think you're weak. No, don't tell nobody nothing. They just want to get in your business. And he'll keep you carving that thing. Proverbs 28:13 says, he that covets his sins shall not prosper. But whosoever confesses and forsake them shall have mercy. You know, you all puffed up and holding that stuff, like you hurting nobody but yourself. Because people have an idea that you have this guilt in you.
So if you
only ever confess it with someone, then it's only going to hurt you. But the enemy will convince a person, don't let them know your business.
Right.
You know,
it's
your business that's destroying you, and if you don't get it out of you, you're
going to
destroy yourself.
Right. You have that. And Jesus is our high priest. He is our high priest. He does intercede for us in the Holy Ghost. And this is what the Lord said many times. Amen. Go in your secret closet. Go someplace. You feel, amen, you feel you have to discuss this. You have to, if someone, I remember I ran into a case and someone had died. And I said, well, why don't you write a letter? You got to get it out. Write a letter to this person and mail it. Even if it come back, you know you have written that letter. And you got to ask God to forgive you of your trespasses. Amen. If we forgive those that trespass against us. So, you know, it's very needful. It's very important. And I see why, that's why cell phones and phones are now, because man has to talk. We have to talk. God made us communicate. Communicate,
you know,
one with another.
If we get a habit of talking, you know, if you say, well, you're talking to yourself, you know, and what you need to think about is you need to talk to an intelligent person sometimes. So when you're talking to yourself, you're talking to a pretty intelligent person, because no one understands you better than you understand yourself. But when you begin to talk to the Holy Spirit, the more you openly talk to the Holy Spirit about and confessing to the Holy Spirit, you begin to look at the Holy Spirit as a person, and more so than a thing, or something mystical, ghostly. And you get a habit now of talking to the Holy Spirit as a person. You'll find that I don't care where you go, what you're doing, anytime you got any doubts about which way to go or what the answer might be, you easily begin talking to the Holy Spirit and know that you're talking to a person, and and the Holy Spirit is going to give you the answer. You go, now, Holy Spirit, now, I'm kind of lost here now. Begin to feel in your spirit that the Holy Spirit is there to comfort you. That's what the Lord said he would do, and he's there to comfort you. That means you converse with him and begin to feel and understand in your heart that he's a person. And he's there for you.
Amen. Amen. Very good. If you have anyone else would like, just press 1 on your phone. Amen. You might want to share how God has helped you through some trials and tribulations of yours that maybe you thought was hidden. Maybe you thought it wasn't important, because they say old things are passed away. Behold, everything become new. Yes, but, you know, it's just like, first you got to get into the family of God. And if you get into the family correctly of God by confessing, amen, confessing your sins. When you have done wrong or ought against someone else, amen, even though it's secretly, amen, the Holy Spirit began to put on your heart and your mind that you have done something wrong. Amen. In the last days, Paul was speaking about it in Timothy, amen, the 4th chapter, that their conscience will be seared with a hot iron. It's because of the fact, amen, God has warned you and warned you and warned you, and you got to the point that the Holy Spirit say, okay, he won't warn you anymore, because your conscience, whatever come up, whatever you do, if you find someone, they say, oh, what? You don't have no conscience? Why did you do this or why did you do that? Because their conscience been seared with a hot iron. And we have to be so careful about almost this television bringing so much hatred and killing and shooting on. Your feelings are gone. Your compassion is burnt out. So when you come to Christ and confess everything to God, amen, confess everything to God, and if you have to go in your secret closet, go in your secret closet, do that, and pray and ask God to forgive you. And the Holy Spirit would help you to forgive yourself. Help you forgive yourself. Amen. If everyone wanted to press 1 on your phone, amen, we would like to hear what you have to say about unforgiveness, how you have overcome that in terms that you can help others, hatred, amen. That you're not going to, let me clear this up very quickly here. You're not going to say, well, what had been happened to in the world, when I was living in the world, things not going to happen to me anymore since I'm in Christ. Things not going to happen to me anymore. Since I'm a child of God and I'm in the family of Christ, amen, people are not going to talk against me. People are not going to offend me. I'm not going to offend anyone else. Amen. No. Things going to happen. Situation going to happen. Peter asked God, asked Jesus in the book of Matthew's, amen, 18th chapter, in the latter part, he said, Lord, how often should I forgive my brother? Amen. There are times in Christ where you're going to be offended. And there's someone going to offend you. Babies, baby Christians, amen, those are just learning about Jesus, learning about the walk with God, just learning, amen, they might offend you. They might offend you, not knowing that they did, amen, but at the same time, you'll find yourself, say, well, you know, you carry that in your heart, you'd be wondering all day and all night, this person that offended you, and you never expected this would happen. The enemy told him that somebody told your business and the pastor preached on it. You hear people talk about it, but no, you will get offended. And Jesus said in the last days, some will be offended, some will be betrayed. Amen. But if you learn how to go to Jesus, learn how to go to Christ. Amen. Confess your fault one to another. We have a caller. All right, let's press one. God bless you. Amen. God bless you. You're on the air. God bless
you. God bless you, Bishop. This is Minister Walter joining us this week. Very excited about the call this week again. Really got excited about it last week. I think you have another great topic as well this week. Just wanted to say, I think many people in the body of Christ these days are really suffering as far as health-wise because of the fact that they're holding on to things from childhood, holding on to grudges or things that even their parents might have done, and they haven't really released it. And I think, you know, it begins to affect your health. It begins to affect your body and your mind. And, you know, one of the old things is hurt people, hurt other people, you know, and sometimes a person can be a person that you consider not a happy person or walking around with things hold on them, you know, it's because of hurt and things they haven't released, you know, years ago that's been weighing on, and they begin to act out and begin to try to, not meaningly, but try to, you know, put up a guard and actually hurt people just because they're hurting themselves. And I think, I think very key that we go to each other if we have a problem and you know, acknowledge that problem and be real mature about it and express each other what the problem is and go forth from there. I mean, you know, I think it's like he was saying earlier, like it almost gets down in your body and becomes cancer, you know, it becomes cancerous, you know. And, I think it's very powerful that you just go to each other, and if, you know, just like Jesus was saying, if their right eye offends thee, pluck it out, you know, and the same way, you know, I believe it works is, if your brother offends you, the best way to handle that situation is just go to each other, iron it out, and move on from it, and don't dwell on it. You know, a lot of people, they might say they forgave you or whatever, but 10 years later, you're getting another argument. I remember 10 years ago, you know, you did this. Well, 10 years ago, you were supposed to forgive for that. And, you know, you just got to move on and realize people are going to, you're going to offend somebody not knowingly sometimes, and, you know, you might not even mean nothing by it. It's going to happen. But, you know, just move on from it. I believe that's one of the things that really, really hurts us as far as health-wise is just carrying on the stuff that we shouldn't be carrying on to.
Right, right, right. I appreciate that. I remember when I went to a nursing home, a senior care homes, and, you know, some of the people want to talk and they want to share. And this is what I always relate to. Amen. I remember this. It wasn't in a care facility. There are some that sit around and just talk about, you know, my sister did this, and I know about this, and you know, the nurses say, okay, now come back now. Don't do that. Don't go that way. You know, it'd be so consuming, and you figure that if you never been in these positions, you know, those that are listening. Amen. only way we can turn around now. We know that some are in this position. We know that some been hurt through divorce and laid off their jobs. Now we have to talk about how can they get out. I know, amen, I was taught prayer. I was taught prayer, mission, and a little mission work in the home. I went to a prayer band, and all I knew when things get too rough or whatever, amen, coming up as a young babe in Christ, I would go in my closet and just pray. That's all I know. That's all I knew. And one chance we got in a bad bus accident, and the Lord told me, don't let this lady drive this bus. And the Holy Spirit that was lightly dealing with me, but because of peer pressure, the bus was half of her family and, you know, relatives and whatever. And the lady had a light accident on the way back with the bus. And for weeks, I could not get this off of my mind. I could not. It was consuming me. And I was getting calls about, well, sir, can you explain us to what had happened? And, you know, they wouldn't call the driver, you know. So this thing was consuming me. And through going to God's house and praying, amen, and through time, God healed me. And all of this now, Holy Spirit bring back to my members, you know, for examples to use to help others. Amen. Go right ahead. I would think we had another caller. Amen. Someone else. We thank God tonight. We have many listening. Let's press one, I'm quite sure. Some of you have gone through some hurt. But we need to tell people now how to get out of it. Not necessarily get out of it, but how to overcome it. What did you do to overcome it? What did you do to overcome it? All right, we have a caller. Amen. Yes, sir.
God bless you, Bishop.
Yes, sir. How you doing there?
Just fine.
Yes, sir.
Peace
I know you heard.
Yeah. I'm listening. I'm like a fly on the wall. I like to hear what's going on. I get something from listening to how my brother get through it. Amen.
Uh-huh.
It's a lot of joy in that. I can't describe it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was listening to you, and really, what's being said is what's going on in the body.
Okay.
What the brothers have said is a descriptive of what's going on in the body.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the Lord will have it that way. But what he really wants us to do, and I come to this, I say it because I come to it.
Mm-hmm,
he wants
mm-hmm.
us to look at the word, his word, and then mm-hmm. go from there.
All right.
Now, people are trying to forgive themselves.
Uh-huh.
They'll always show you of a different way that you work out somehow in your own intellect. And
mm-hmm.
and that's the trap.
Mm-hmm.
He tells us don't be led by our own minds. You know, we have to be led by our spirit.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm saying is that if you forgive your brother,
mm-hmm.
God
mm-hmm.
said, "I forgive you."
Okay.
In other words, when you forgive, you free yourself.
Okay.
I say amen to that. The
all
moment
right.
you
all
forgive, whatever it is, you free
mm-hmm.
yourself. You see, you know how, what was that? Was that Proverbs or was that Ecclesiastes says that a mule in all of his strength, when
mm-hmm.
he becomes entangled, he can't free himself. You
all
see?
Right.
So we are being led. See, that's what God give you his spirit for. That's what he
mm-hmm.
gives you, the Holy Ghost. And he indicates there being filled with the Spirit. See, because
mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
through the Spirit, the Bible says, we therefore mortify the deeds
mm-hmm.
our members, the deeds
mm-hmm.
of this body. So
mm-hmm.
so you got to not only know the command, know God, you understand? But you also
mm-hmm.
got to follow him. And in following him, you got to get the prescription prescribed command so that you can do what it said. Now, you know how it's taught. There's obedience. Mm-hmm. It's better than sacrifice. And that's Old Testament concept, but that's what God is saying when it comes down to forgive.
Yeah.
You see?
Yeah.
Now, I say this and I'm doing. Why is it a command? Because the same thing God is telling you to do is the same thing he did for you. Makes sense,
okay.
Don't it? That's
right.
What he's
all
talking
right.
about, follow me. God sent Jesus.
Amen.
And he sent Jesus to fill us with himself. And that's going in the book, but that's what he really did. Now remember, he said, follow God. And was that Ephesians? As dear children.
All right.
You can't follow him without him being in you. You got to be led by him in order to follow. So what we have to do is what? Delight ourselves in him. He ain't going to be far from you if you delight yourself in him. You see?
Okay.
If you delight yourself, he come to your rescue. If you live holy, you get in trouble, you don't have to scream because he's going to be right there.
He's
what the old folks say, he's a on-time God.
Mm-hmm.
But I had to bring it a little closer. When I was sick, I found out he never left me.
Never left.
And just like the brother said, he never left me, but he was there solid, waiting on me to open my mouth and address the fact. Now, Father, I know what you said. I know you never left me, and you said you wouldn't deny me. So here I am. You see what I'm saying? And there he speaks. As though to say, now he know what you want to need before you even ask him. But he said, but now what? You see? So out of our mouths, amen, is a directive of our life. But it got to be the commandment of God. You got to forgive. If you don't forgive, he ain't going to talk with you. He ain't got nothing to say to you. But the moment you forgive, you free yourself. You see what I'm saying?
All right.
So that's why I was listening to the brother. I said, oh, my God, he needs to go on and talk.
Yeah.
You see? Because this is what the Lord is
all
saying.
Right.
Not only have an understanding, but today you got to go a little farther. You got to tell folks about the sin. You got to call folks sin out because God ain't going to, he ain't short-stepping nothing. You got to be right if you're gonna get up out of here. That's what I'm saying. Listen, I'm saying, Bishop.
All right. You was talking about Ephesians 5th chapter.
That's 5th chapter.
The 5th verse, say, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children.
Yes.
Amen. And walk in love, and as Christ also have loved us.
Yes.
And has given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God. A sweet smelling savor. Amen. All right.
God said, now all that stuff you did, now I'm paraphrasing, all that stuff you did, Bishop, I forgave you. That sounds good, don't it?
All right.
It's
all right.
So sweet to hear the Lord's voice. Now
all
he's
right.
saying, now you forgive your brother.
That's
now,
right.
I'm not frightened he did you. Forgive it. No, don't even go with that.
All right.
Amen.
All right, brother. All right, brother Hester.
I agree with you. Right there where you at, Bishop. I agree. But you see, we say that God left us. But the truth of the matter is, the moment you start talking to God, he's there.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't talk to him, he's not going to say anything to you.
Not going to respond.
Now, if you think about it, you want. Children, I know my mother and my father watch me, and your parents will tell you sometimes, or you pay attention to you see them doing something, and you watch them, and you'll say to them at one time or another, they'll tell you, I'm going to see how long you're going to carry it around before you come and tell me.
God
was watching us all the while that we were doing our little thing, and he just wondered, when are you going to come to me and confess to me? The minute you come to him and confess to him, it put you up from all that stuff you see with all them years. So I like that. That's true. Baby.
All right. You notice what he said in 1 John, and you quoted that earlier. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
But we're going to go in 1 John, the 4th chapter. He said that he that is in you, amen. We're going to stop right there, and we're going to flip over, amen. And I know we got some Bible readers out there and study the 10th chapter of Romans. Paul said, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart. So and once he get into you, he's there all the time. He said, I never forsake you, I never leave you. So he's in there, but yet and still, he respect your will. Your will to say, well, this is wrong. This is wrong in me. You know, it's in there. But,
so, Bishop, he said that he's in you, and he wants you to confess to him. So he's there. All you got to do is confess to yourself, and he's saying he's right there in you waiting on you to confess to yourself what you were confessing to him, and he'll free you.
Mm-hmm. All right, now we're getting a little deep right now because we're body, soul, and spirit. We're body, soul, and spirit. So if he's in us and he's in our spirit and he's in us, so we're talking now. He wants the natural man to be relieved. Mm-hmm. He wants the natural man, amen, to go forward because if we don't free the natural man, it's going to hold on to the spiritual man.
That's it.
You're hold on to spiritual man.
So you better know you want to talk to yourself because when you're talking to yourself, you already received Christ in you. He's sitting in there waiting on you to confess to him that I'm okay. So you better be talking to yourself.
Now, you remember when Jesus made this parable about the spirit and the spirit leave the house? Amen. When a man, you know the words, when a man come to Christ, and I can justify and say this as well because early part of my ministry, amen, we went to visit a friend of an evangelist. I was free to move around. And the Holy Spirit stretched my mind, go to see your brother, minister down. I was in Palm Beach. I had to go back to Boca Raton. Some of you might know how far that is. And they was in prayer. And this young man, he was having a hard time. He was in prayer. But they say, you know, we prayed with him last night, and he's just saying all kind of different names and voices. Amen. And it came to me, because I was studying the night before concerning Matthew's 18 chapter, whatever two or three touch in the Greek, whatever is bound. And not only that, but bind the strong man in his life. So we agreed, and we bind the strong man. The young man was able to confess to Christ and accept Christ and get a water baptism. And what had happened, he had got involved in Ouija boards and all these, you know, dungeons and dragons. He got involved in it in college. And he wanted to come to Christ, but those things had consumed his life. It bound up his spirit. Bound up his spirit, man. He couldn't get through. He could not get through on his own until he was able, amen, through prayer, to bind that spirit that was consuming that young man. Amen. He was able to confess about sorcery and different things, and God freed him. God freed him. So, like we said many times, if we want to get free, if the individual want to get free, and I was sharing about this story of this lady, she had so many different sickness, she was spitting her blood, and find out the guilt was eating her up because she was going with her husband, her sister's husband, for years. And she was having abortions behind it. And she could not get free, so she married the first man that could say he wanted to marry her. Can you imagine what kind of marriage that was? You know, carrying all that luggage. So unconfessed sins can not only destroy that individual, but as well, their own life. Amen.
You
someone
know,
have anyone else? Okay, Brother Hester, go right ahead.
I listened to a well-known TV minister talked about when he was 18 and worked in a hardware store. He took $20 out of the register And over 20-some years later, he was in the pulpit preaching, and the owner of that hardware store happened to be sitting on the front row in his ministry. He made it through his sermons, and immediately when he closed his sermon out, he couldn't get down off the pulpit fast enough and went to hit that man and told him, "You don't know it, but when I was 18 and I worked for you, I took $20 out of the register, and it's been eating at me for the past 20-some years. Today, I don't want you, I can't let you leave out of here without confessing it to you, and I want to pay you, give that $20 back to you." He said that, "Let me tell you something. Confession is something that will eat at you so long as you are alive in this body.
Yes,
and you can't get around it. Time will not heal it. The only thing that's going to heal it is if you open up your mouth and bring it out of you and confess it. The moment you do it, God will relieve you of that." And people often say they felt like a 10-pound weight lifted off, because that's exactly what it is.
Satan has kept down
with it, and as soon as you speak it out, don't worry about the shame of mankind hearing you confess something. The fact is, you're releasing yourself, and the moment you do, your life is completely changed after that.
I had to do that with my calling. Lost everything walking the street. I said, "Okay, Lord, I'm ready to come, and forgive me of my, you know, this, that, and the other, and I accept you." And look like I said, the world, a whole new light came to the world. And I knew it was dark outside, walking the street, lost my car there. You know, that same night, my friend, old friend, pulled up. "Hey," I said, "Where you going? Come on." Met my wife the same night. But the Lord was weighing me down. The Holy Spirit said, you got to come. All right, my friend. We have another call on the line. Okay.
I was just looking at the scripture in Matthew chapter 5 when Jesus said, "It's better for you not to even bring a gift to the altar if you have a grievance against your brother." And I just always think that's very powerful. How, you know, He's even telling you don't even bring your money if you ain't gonna bring it with a right spirit, a right heart. You know, and that's very, very profound, because, you know, I think a lot of times we be in church and we sitting right next to the person we have a problem with, and we want to get right with them, you know, and then we go and sow and expect to reap a harvest off of it, and Jesus already told us get it right. And then you go over into the 18th chapter, he's talking about how if two of you agree, it's touching on earth. So everything Jesus is talking about, he's talking forgiveness and agreement. You know, I think the enemy knows that if he can cause little strifes and problems between us, that we're not as powerful. But when Jesus said that our works would be greater than his, he was saying that because all of us together, our work could be greater. All we all come together and we all confess our faults to one another. And a lot of times, talking is just therapeutic, you know. I began about a couple of weeks ago. I went to the hospital, and a friend of mine, he was in the hospital, and his blood pressure was real high. And I sat with him like 3-4 hours, and he just began to talk. He began to talk from childhood up until now. And it wasn't even the next day he was out of the hospital, blood pressure back normal and everything. And I don't think it was the medicine. I don't think it was the medicine. I think it was the fact that he talked about it and cleared his mind, and he began to, you know, begin to pray together. And I think just releasing that is what relieves blood pressure.
AARP does it. They have these group therapies, Alcoholics Anonymous. They come in these group therapies, and you share. Amen. It's very, very, very important. You know, my mind, here's the news flash. We can all put it together. I think it might be a revelation. Could be a jest that we both can absorb. The enemy always used deception. Just think on that. He always used deception. And he got his false prophets and teachers not all over the world. In some areas that I know I have traveled, and many of you have traveled, they're running after prosperity. But they're not running after the area where God can open up the windows of heaven. Now, if we know the enemy does not prosper, God's people. He always wanted to hinder them and sidetrack them. So if everybody bringing their money to the altar and there's no prayer or no confession of forgiveness prior to, let's say, Lord led me many times when we have our communion, and many times early in our ministry, he said, no, don't teach them to hypocrite. You know, we anoint everybody with oil. We'll be the prayer of faith to save the sick. If they committed sins, prayer of faith, if they committed sins, see, not only for sickness, but if they committed sins, they shall be forgiven. So if the enemy wanted everybody to come and he know they're doing wrong, he know they're not confessing their sins, he's robbing. He's robbing.
Yep.
Now, I know that's a wide observation, wide biblical observation. We can take it as a revelation, but we can, like Paul said, when two or three, amen, prophesy, testify, let the other one judge. So, it just came to me. Now, if the devil know that you having problems and hate and guilt, and I'll tell you, hey, why don't you stand up and give me $40 and God's going to bless you with a new car. Bring it to the altar. Put your money here. God's going to bless it. What do you think about that? What do you think about it? We have a caller on the line. Go right ahead, callers. Go right ahead.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Go right ahead.
You said that was a wide revelation, but look at this.
Okay.
If a man don't know Jesus, you better not confess to him. If that
Amen.
Joker don't know Jesus, you better keep your lips shh, buddy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, God gets furious with us confessing our problems to the unsaved. Check it out for yourself. If you need advice, you ought to know how to pray. If you need advice, there ought to be, like James said, there ought to be somebody among you that's able, you understand, to judge these matters.
Okay.
See, God always got somebody. And that's why as the conversation goes, this is why forgiveness is so important. See, forgiveness or offenses is just like spirits. Remember Paul said the devil sent imps to buff him about?
Amen. Yes.
So what we're looking at here is the way the church ought to be. This is why he called us brethren. This is why we are not, Jesus is not our father. He's our elder brother.
Okay.
And because of him, we have access in the grace. So you said a revelation there. That right there is one of the greater errors that the church world is making.
Yes.
People leave church angry and go home and discuss it with their unsaved family, and God is upset with them.
Yes.
You see what I'm saying? There is no deliverance. This is why, cancers and all kinds of stuff comes, because what? You're not free. Now, my son asked me, he said, Daddy, what does it mean? He said, what does it mean that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life? He said, what does it mean that the word of God will make you free? He said, what does that mean?
I told him,
it ain't that you're free to do anything you want.
All right.
But you are
All
free.
Right.
You get the favor of God. Amen.
Amen.
Because of the inclination of his word. So we just putting it where it is. Listen. It's too much slander and too much hatred going on among God's people. See, you can't talk about how sinful a person is because you used to be the same way.
Amen.
But you show
Amen.
A person how to come out of their sin. Show them the value of getting free, the value of living holy. Amen.
Yes.
Show them that Jesus is come at any time, and it's good to be living holy. Everybody got problems. Amen. So let me just shut up, because listen, this is why he said, call for the elders of the church and let them pray. You understand? The elders of the church. Because listen, some of these folk don't know the arm from the elder. They don't know anything, but they can quote a few scriptures. God knows what's going on there. You understand?
Yes, sir.
But I'm talking about being converted in your heart. I'm talking about your heart being cleansed. You hate sin just as much as the sin you commit. That's the only one. If you don't love God, you understand, you ain't going to live like that. So I'm just saying that was more than a revelation. That's the very thing that's the problem in our churches.
It's deception. Deception, and I remember... Amen. I'm going to credit you with that. You said, we are the bait. We are the bait. And I thought about that thing, you know, God delivered us and everybody looking at us and said, wow, I'm going to come to Jesus because of you.
You?
Jesus got us going here and people listen to our lives and the things that God has given us. Amen. And if we look at the Word of God again, we're going to boil it down here. We got about 3 minutes here. If we can look at this thing, we have to live what we see. We have to, if Jesus say forgive, and you say, Lord, you got to help me forgive. You got to go down on your knees. Isaiah 58, amen, I can go in this thing by these 60-day fasts and 400-day fasts and all these fasts that people do, but I'm not going to bother with that because I'm dealing with a lot of other religions. They tying up into holiness, which is not not godly. You don't have to do no 40-day fast. For you, what you doing that for? But anyway, you know, when the Holy Spirit got to lead you. Amen. Isaiah 58 say, what? When the day that you do go on a fast, amen, is to break every yoke. You know, lay down heavy burdens, things that you can't get rid of. So those of us that are listening and you've been consumed about hatred and things that you've been going through and you just can't get rid of, amen, this guilt, amen, that's come to go to God, amen, and say, well, Lord, you know, you read Isaiah 58 and say, Lord, I'm going to present myself, amen, a half a day or one meal and kind of get off to yourself and pray. And pray and read and pray, amen, and privately, amen, and ask God to help you overcome that thing, amen. You know, put it under your feet. You can walk on it. You won't make it bitter. Won't get you all upset, amen, and you have to overcome it, overcome it. And I thank God tonight for all of you, amen, that are listening, amen. We might be able to take one quick call here because we want to go in prayer, amen, for those that are listening, have guilt, and have problems and situations that they feel they cannot overcome. They cannot overcome and it is going on in their life and they need help. And I know that God led you through this program and God led you to listening, amen, to Doctrine of Truth, amen. If you like to go to our website, amen. You can go to our website, amen. And we go down, amen. You can go to www.jciministries.org. www.jciministries.org. Amen. You can see us on Facebook. facebook.com/JesusChristInternationalMinistries. Amen. You can view us. Amen. Amen. Either email seniorbishop@jciministries.org. God bless you today, tonight, wherever you are, and you begin to view, amen, this program. We leave you. Father, we thank you right now. Oh God, you say where two or three touch and agree, what is bound in heaven. And God, we ask you to deliver these people. God, bless those that have been listening. Bless those panel, Lord, that empty their lives out to others. And God, we know you're able. Oh, God, you save us, and we are witnesses to you and to others. Lord, let your Holy Spirit pour out, oh, God, and lift the mind, lift the soul, lift the spirit, oh, God, of everything. This we ask in Jesus' name we pray, amen.
control.